Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
I had a talk with a friend of mine and I was like, you know, if I ever hit 1 million subscribers, I'm just shutting the channel down. Like, this is not possible. I never thought that it was going to happen. And now here we are, over 1 million subscribers. I'm always talking about thinking bigger. And yet here I was with these own limiting beliefs on myself, which just shows you, like, if you think you're thinking big, you're not thinking big enough. It's just opportunities are endless. I never thought that Minority Mindset would grow into its own business, because for me, this was just a hobby.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. He thinks everyone in the world should have their own podcast. Pat Flynn.
All right, if you are looking to sell your products online, you might want to think about doing so through Walmart. Yes, Walmart Marketplace. Millions of people prefer to shop there. We're talking 120 million unique monthly visitors, according to Comscore. Even better, Walmart Marketplace is designed with sellers in mind. Zero monthly or setup fees involved. Plus, launch sponsored search ads or consider leveraging Walmart's fulfillment services to store inventory, ship orders, and manage returns. If you join today, you can save up to 50% off referral and fulfillment fees. Conditions apply. Reach millions of online shoppers with Walmart Marketplace. Head to marketplace.walmart.com/smart. That's marketplace.walmart.com/smart. Head over and get started today. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our special guest today, I have to thank him here because he has made me a lot of money. And not from online business, but in fact, financial advice that I learned on his YouTube channel, The Minority Mindset. And I highly recommend you check it out. Jaspreet Singh is an amazingly kind and generous and very smart person who brings with us today a lot of his knowledge about how he started his YouTube channel and how he's turned it into an empire of sorts, not just through ad revenue on YouTube, but by creating a newsletter and by creating products on top of that, and how he sells ad spots into his newsletter. And he reveals all this and even how much he charges. It's just such an interesting conversation. My name is Pat Flynn. Welcome to session 565 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. And today we're also talking about different ways to earn passive income. In fact, I know that I've helped make Jaspreet some passive income because, in fact, one of Jaspreet's offers that he made on his YouTube channel about refinancing, I actually remember specifically going in my mind, I remember going, Jaspreet really helped me there. I'm going to make sure I click on his affiliate link for this refinance situation. And I was able to give him a little bit of a kickback. How much? I'm not exactly sure, but we do reveal a lot of numbers today. We do reveal the struggle of the journey for sure, especially for somebody who wasn't really great on camera up front and admits that. And this is where we have a lot in common as well. But Jaspreet has some amazing words of wisdom for you, especially if you are a brand new creator here in the creator economy in 2022. So I highly recommend you sit back, listen in, and also to make sure Market Briefs, his newsletter, as well as The Minority Mindset on YouTube. Here he is, Jaspreet Singh. Yo, Jaspreet, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, Pat, thanks for having me. It's good to be on with you.
It's so trippy to talk to you live because I watch your videos all the time. And I have to just tell you publicly here, you've saved me a lot of money. You've helped make me a lot of money. So thank you. And this is in regards to mostly real estate related things.
My man, I'm glad to hear that. I appreciate that. I'm glad.
I'd love to know, with all the different financial related things anybody in the finance space could talk about, I mean, there's so much.
Yeah.
How do you decide what to create a video about?
that's a good one. For me, I went through a lot of different stages of trying to figure out what video I want to talk about. But right now, it's really just what is happening in my life. So either I'm having a conversation with one of my friends and he's like, he or she is like, oh, I'm trying to get a job, or I'm trying to sign up for 401k. I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, video idea. Or I'm watching, you know, what's going on with inflation. And I'm like, this is crazy, video idea. Or I'm going out and I'm investing in real estate. And I'm like, this just happened, video idea. Or something happens in the stock market. So it's really things that I'm involved in, which I think is one of the reasons why people really like the videos that I make on Minority Mindset, is just because I talk a lot from personal experience. And everything is just things that are happening around me right now.
I love that. And when you get an idea, is it I'm going to go film it right now and it comes out tomorrow? Or what's the workflow like in terms of idea to publication?
You know, it depends. It's not recorded today, come out tomorrow, unless it's a super like trendy topic. So if it's like something that has to do with, say, new inflation data or something that just happened in stock market, real estate, then yeah, that's going to be recorded and then coming out very soon. It might be the next day, it might be 2 days, just depending on what it is. But for more of the educational content, I might try to build a little bit of a backlog. And I say I might try to because it just depends on what's going on, because I have so many different things happening. And I'm always trying to build a backlog of this type of evergreen content. But it's hard for me to maintain it that long because sometimes, you know, I just get busy with other stuff. Like before the holidays, the new year, I think I had like a solid month or so of evergreen content. And that was great. I mean, it was just like, this is awesome. And then came the new year and I was, you know, everywhere. I was traveling so many different places, doing so many different things. And I just didn't have a chance to record for a while. And, you know, now I'm trying to rebuild a little bit of a backlog. So it always kind of just fluctuates based off of what's happening around me.
When it comes to a particular video idea, I'd love to know, how do you extract that idea? What tools are you using so that when you get in front of the camera, you kind of already know where you're going? Or are you just that pro that you can just, all right, record, I got this, and boom?
You know, I went through a big transition and a big change in this, where in the beginning, you know, I didn't grow up with any sort of like financial education, and I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to be on camera. So I had no like video experience. I didn't know how to talk on camera. I didn't know how to present myself. I didn't know how to speak. When I was first making videos, it was very difficult. I remember my first video. You can still watch this on YouTube.
It's three minutes long.
Yeah. It's pretty bad, right? It took me 2 days of full recording to record that video. It was I assume that I should not take a break, that I shouldn't cut, I shouldn't blink. Like I just need to be staring into the soul of the camera and just talk. And so I spent a full day recording it. When I say full day, I mean like 8 hours trying to record a 3-minute video. And I was exhausted. And then I go and watch this video and I was like, oh, you know, I don't like the way I'm looking. So then I do day two, another 8 hours of trying to record just 3 minutes. And I knew that wasn't sustainable, but that's how it started. And so I started kind of recording, like thinking that it has to be just one full video, no mistakes. And I was scripting everything by words. So English is my second language. So, you know, I jumble up words and say things wrong sometimes. So I would script out the entire video. And then I was like, you know, doing it all in one cut is going to be impossible. It's just not sustainable. So then I started scripting it in jump cuts, in smaller bits. And I would write it out word for word because I figured that would be the best way for me to convey the message that's inside of me. So I did that. And now recording a video had three phases. It was coming up with the video topic and researching, which was a very intensive process. And then scripting, which now was writing the script, editing the script, making sure the script is okay. And then the recording, now reading the script word for word, and then also the editing and publishing phase. But then, you know, this is now maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago or so. So it's still not even that long. I was like, why am I still scripting? It's at least 2 years now, about 2 years. I'm like, why am I still scripting these videos when like I'm scripting them? I script the way I talk. And I built a level of comfort where it's like, I know what I'm saying. I know how to talk now. I know how to present myself. And that's when I made that transition from scripting word for word to now making just the bullet points. So I'm still doing my research about a topic. I still spend a lot of time researching. And it's not really like, you know, when people think of like intense research of a video, it's just not really what it is. For me, research is just mainly living life because my life is already, I'm reading the financial news. I have a company, Market Briefs. We publish the financial news every day. I'm always on top of that. I'm listening to economists. I'm studying. I'm reading books. All these things are like things that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. As it is. And now if I want to make a topic about, let's just say, what's going on in the housing market, well, I already know what's going on. But if I'm talking about a specific aspect, then yeah, I'm going to research some more articles. So the research like isn't like, oh, I got to go spend 2 hours learning this. I'm already doing that in my life. It's just might be finding a couple of the articles. And then the scripting phase is really just me outlining my thoughts. I might take a piece of paper and just bullet point, okay, I want to talk about this, 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 and this. And that's it. I'm not sitting here writing what I want to talk about because I already know everything. I just want to go and talk about it. And then the recording becomes a whole lot easier because now I can just talk about the things that I know. And I know sometimes I can get a little bit off topic, which is why I need my bullet points. So I know I got to get back over here. But that's how the process works for me. And the reason why I was saying that, you know, I didn't grow up imagining that I was going to be a video person. I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to be an entrepreneur. I thought I was going to be a doctor. It was a tough process because, you know, when was I ever supposed to learn how to make a video, how to talk on camera, how to convey a message? Yeah. When I was in law school when I started our Minority Mindset, the YouTube channel. And I was like, you know, this is like I was going to law school in the mornings. I was a part-time student for the second half. So I'm in law school for like the first half. And then after that, I'm working on Minority Mindset. And then I was like, yeah, I need to learn to be better. So then I went to night school for acting. That way I could learn how to talk on camera. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I had no way of figuring it out. So that was one of the things that I did to kind of just practice. And that practice makes it so much easier. But now, hey, you know, if you just give me a topic, I can go and make a video on it. But I couldn't do that 6 years ago.
Right. You had to live through the mess, right? And as my friends say sometimes, like you have to be a disaster before you become the master. And, you know, if you go back into my archive as well, it was definitely disastrous content. I think your first video was much better than mine, just so you know.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. 6 years ago, you launched this, or 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And sort of Minority Mindset, this was the name that you had when you knew that you were going to do this. What was the crux? What was the origin of that name? What does that even mean? Minority Mindset. Why did you choose that?
So the Minority Mindset has nothing to do with the way you look, your ethnicity, or your skin color. It's the mindset of thinking differently than the majority of people. It's all about that mindset. And the reason why it's called the minority mindset is because all success starts with their mindset. You can have all the best tools. You can have rich parents. You can have a trust fund. You can have all the financial education. But if you have a broke mindset, you're going to live broke and you're going to lose it all. But if you come from nothing, you don't have rich parents, you don't have a trust fund, you have to bust your butt, you have to work your way, but you are willing to work, you believe that you can, and you're willing to learn, well, now nothing can stop you because you have the right mindset. All success starts with your mindset. That's what the name Minority Mindset is all about, where you have to have the right mindset in order to succeed. And I call it the minority mindset because the majority of people got a broke mindset. It's a limited, scarce, not like growth-oriented winning mindset. That's why the minority mindset is all about understanding, okay, if I think differently than the majority of people, where can I create opportunity for myself? That's what the name means. I created the name Minority Mindset kind of an accident. So I was working on a different company. It was a sock company that I was working on. And I was launching it. It was doing well. But I got scammed by a fake marketing company during that launch. And yeah, it was unfortunate, but I was a little upset. So I was like, what do I do about this? Do I cry, complain? Like, things were going well. The company did very good, even though we were scammed. And so I decided to put out a class on Udemy, and this is years ago now, on how to launch a business without getting screwed over, because nobody taught me this. I had to do everything in secret. I had to learn my way to do this because my parents didn't want me to be an entrepreneur. So it was like, I was just so frustrated. So I created this class out of frustration to help somebody out, kind of like me, who was in that situation. Class was like $7 or something. And I did it under the alias Minority Mindset. The whole idea being you have to think differently than the majority of people. And I always felt like I thought differently than the majority of people because, you know, when I was young, I was like mowing my neighbor's lawns. I was like, I want to start being financially independent, whatever that means. And my parents were like, you're dumb, go study. But I always knew that there's something else I need to do. I was in high school. I started working at weddings. I started hosting parties for teens in high school. I started a teen party business in high school. I went to college. I didn't know what happens in college. My parents are not from the United States. So I thought everybody goes to college to study and work hard to become a doctor. I go there and everybody's partying. And I could not believe it. I was like, dude, none of you have any money. And yet all of you are sitting here blowing money that you don't have through student loans on alcohol and parties. Like, this is absolutely insane. I couldn't believe it. So I took my teen party business that I was running in high school, brought it to college. And I'm a freshman now. I was 17 years old. It's funny to think back at this because I was 17. I started knocking on doors of every club, bar, venue, restaurant on campus, asking if I can host parties here. And some of them said, yeah. And they were like, you don't have to pay us anything. Just give us a percentage of the revenue that you charge, the cover charge. And now here I am, 17 years old in business, starting this event planning company. And I didn't drink. I don't drink. I'm not into partying. But for me, it was an opportunity to capitalize on what I saw, what was going on. Now, you know, I got out of that industry because I didn't like the environment after, but I built a pretty successful event planning company all because I was thinking differently than the majority of people. Same thing when I started investing. I started investing my money when all of my friends, so let's put this in perspective. I'm 18, 19, 20 years old, making pretty good money in college. I'm working in this event planning company where anytime somebody makes a little bit of money, they're going to the Gucci store. They're buying a new car. They want to show it off, right? It's that entertainment industry where it's all about the way you look. And I'm here shopping at the Midwest equivalent of Walmart, wearing jeans and just whatever's cheap because I don't want to spend any money. And so I started investing my money when everybody I knew was just buying all the brand name stuff. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. So that was what the majority mindset and minority mindset was all about internally. And then this class that I created, that was my first expression of the minority mindset by creating something, a brand, as a way to educate this idea of thinking differently than the majority of people. Then that started to evolve into social media. People were like, hey, this is really cool. Can you create an Instagram page? I created an Instagram page under the alias Minority Mindset, just talking about the same stuff, things that I wish that I knew when I was getting started. And then people said, this is so cool. Could you please create a blog? And I was like, well, English is my second language. You don't want to read a blog that I wrote, right? Because it's not going to make any sense, but I can talk. So I went on to YouTube and I started the Minority Mindset YouTube channel. And that's when I got into, you know, the acting school, the film classes, just to learn how to present. And then now Minority Mindset is, you know, over 1 million subscribers on YouTube and we've grown into something a whole lot bigger. So it's funny. It started off kind of as an accident because I got screwed over. But that mindset is what really, I mean, really started the whole thing, was just that the idea of thinking differently than the majority of people.
And you have fans now, you have people who recognize you, you have a culture within this brand that you've created over the years because you've been consistent, but with this approach and with this, these ideals and these values that go along with it. I mean, I catch myself on video sometimes saying down in the description below, and I'll be like, no, I can't do that because that's Jaspreet's thing. Like, it's, I don't know. You just built this culture. I want to go back to when you started the YouTube channel. What was your plan with it? Did you ever imagine getting it to this big business now that you've been able to create and this following, or what was your approach?
No, not at all. Not at all. I remember when I started it, I was like, man, if I ever hit 100,000 subscribers on this, like, oh my God, like that's it. Like that would be amazing. Like I hit jackpot with it. And you got to put this in perspective. This is like 2016, I really started, and there was no educational content, like no financial education content on YouTube then. And to think that 100,000 weirdos, Minority Mindset fans, would be interested in finance, it's just impossible. Like, how many people really care about finance? I was the only person that I knew that cared about it. So to think that 100,000 people would subscribe and join it, no. And I remember this, I had a talk with a friend of mine and my brother, and I was like, you know, if I ever hit 1 million subscribers, I'm just shutting the channel down. Like, this is not possible. Like that was how I never thought that it was going to happen. And now here we are, over 1 million subscribers. And I'm like, you know, I'm always talking about thinking bigger. And yet here I was with these own limiting beliefs on myself, which just shows you, like, you, if you think you're thinking big, you're not thinking big enough. You know, there's just opportunities are endless. And I never thought that Minority Mindset would ever grow into its own, you know, like, business. Because for me, this was just a hobby. I was running my stock company. I was doing real estate. I was doing a lot of other things. And I was just doing this because it was a way for me to talk about the things that were important to me in a way that, you know, I could just put it out there, because I would talk to my friends about it and they would, I know they would get annoyed and they would get bored talking about the same thing all the time. Right. So I stopped doing that and I started talking about it on YouTube. And when I started, it's kind of funny because I didn't even know that I could make money through the videos that I was making. A buddy of mine came to me and he was like, hey, Jaspreet, how much money are you making off of YouTube? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, through your advertisements on YouTube. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, didn't you turn advertisements on? Like, again, what are you talking about? So he goes into the YouTube backend with me and he's like, dude, you don't even turn on monetization on your ads. Just turn your ads on and you can start making a little bit of money through your videos. And I was like, wow. For me, it was just a hobby when I started. And now Minority Mindset has grown into something so much more. But it was like, I never expected that.
With the channel, when did you know that it was like you had something here, right? Nobody knows how it's going to be at the start.
Yeah.
At what point were you like, whoa, this is like, I'm going to go even more into this now?
Yeah. You know, I think it was right around 100,000 subscribers. So I was working.
How long did that take?
Oh, a year and some change. So a little bit less than a year and a half. It took me, it might have been a year and a half, actually, because it took me a year and a couple months to hit 30,000 subscribers. And 2 months after hitting 30,000 subscribers, we hit 100 because one of the videos that went viral. You know, this is one of those things where it just takes one video. It takes one piece of content to really take off. And that's what happened to me. Like, for the first year, and let's say 2 or 3 months, I was grinding and, you know, under 30,000 subscribers to get there. And then just one video took off, and then took us to 100. And when I hit 100, it was a very unique time because a couple things happened. I was working on the sock company, like I was telling you about, and there was a technology behind it. And my goal was never really to build a sock company. My goal was, it had a technology behind it, a water-resistant technology, that my goal was to license. So the sock company was more of a proof of concept, which I could then use as leverage to take to the some of the bigger athletic companies and say, hey, license this technology from us. Well, right around the time I hit 100,000 subscribers, our patent got denied. They said it wasn't original enough. It wasn't unique enough. And so I was like, okay, what do I do here? Either I can continue building the sock company, which is fine. It was making good money. It was profitable. It was fun. But I wasn't passionate about socks. For me, it was I liked the idea of building a buzz business, but that sock passion wasn't there. Minority Mindset, on the other hand, wasn't really making that much money. I mean, it was making a little bit of money now that we had 100,000 subscribers, but it wasn't like a ton of money. And I didn't know what I was going to do with it exactly, but my passion for Minority Mindset was like through the roof. Like this is like, if I could do anything like this, I would just do this. And that's why I was doing it, because I started it just for fun. So I was like, well, this might be like a blessing in disguise, because maybe I can just do Minority Mindset and try to figure it out, figure out how I can turn this into something bigger and just focus on providing the best education and the best value to our viewers and our subscribers. So I decided to do that. And so that was around 100,000 subscribers. And that's when I started focusing just on the content. And our content started to grow, started providing value, because, you know, one of our core values here at the Minority Mindset Company is always lead with value. You'll notice that, you know, we don't really hard sell anything just because it's not us. If you want to buy something, hey, go ahead. But you're not required to purchase anything. My goal is here to provide you with the best education, the best value possible. That way you're going to walk away saying, wow, that was awesome. I want to come back and watch more. So that was always been our core focus at Minority Mindset, is providing the value. And then at around 500,000 subscribers, that's when I realized like, okay, there's a lot more that we can do than just making YouTube videos. So around 500,000 or 600,000 subscribers was when I realized that I could turn this into a real business. And so that was when we started creating new products. One of them being, the first product that we created was actually Market Briefs. It was a part of Minority Mindset first, but we recently spun it off into its own company. Mm-hmm. Market Briefs is a financial newsletter. It's completely free. And it's a morning newsletter made for investors by investors. And it's a way for, you know, my issue was I love keeping up with what's going on in the financial world. So, you know, I have subscriptions to everything. And so I was reading, you know, Wall Street Journal. I was reading CNBC. I was reading Yahoo Finance and just a whole bunch of stuff. And so what Market Briefs does is we break down all the top news in newsletter that you can read in 5 minutes or less. And it's written in a fun way. It's witty. It's just entertaining. And so that was the first product that we created. We created it through Minority Mindset, but then as it started to grow, we spun it off into Market Briefs.
And you said that was free.
Free.
And first of all, where could people go check that out?
So you can check it out at marketbriefs.com.
Okay.
The reason why it's free is because we want people to read it. But the way we make money is actually on the back end through businesses. So we have sponsors that have sponsors on the newsletter, and that's how we monetize it. Now, because I know you have a lot of entrepreneurs on this, I can talk a little bit about the business side of that.
Yeah, please.
So the reason why Market Briefs has been very successful in a newsletter game is because we changed how advertising has been done on newsletters. Because back in the day, I mean, I think the common advertising style for newsletters and blogs has just been like banner ads and just those cheap looking clickbaity, stupid ads that don't convert, that nobody wants to pay for, nobody wants to click on, and no business is really making any conversion on. So what we do is we create native ad text. So the way our newsletter is formatted is we have like a "What's up, everybody" section, kind of based off, you know, I always start my videos with "What's up, everybody?" A quick intro, what's going on in the financial market. We have a market breakdown of what happened in like the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ, Bitcoin, Ethereum, gold. We have a quick financial tip of the day. We have a main story, and then we might have another story. And then when we get to the advertisement, so we, our newsletter team spends a lot of time crafting this ad text, because it's a balance between we want to promote the product, but we don't want to come off as a sales pitch.
Right.
So what we spend a lot of time trying to do is how do we figure out how to promote a product in a fun way that's entertaining, that reads just like a newsletter. That way you actually read the advertisement. Because if you read the advertisement and you enjoy it, now you created a win-win situation, because now you don't feel like you're being sold to. You're enjoying what you're reading, and the business benefits because now, well, they have more people reading and more people clicking. I mean, if you just think of like some of your most favorite commercials or advertisements, these are fun commercials, things like you that you enjoy watching. That's why companies spend so much money trying to create the perfect commercial for the Super Bowl, because they want to have an advertisement that people want to watch. So we're trying to replicate the same model where it's an advertisement that people want to read, that you don't feel like you're being sold to. It's a fun, engaging, native advertisement that's now benefiting the reader, and it's also good for the advertiser. So that's the way that we monetize that.
How are you selecting, or how are you finding advertisers for the newsletter?
So I have a team for that, and the way that we find, so I guess there's two processes. How do you find and how do you select? The finding process is twofold. We have an inbound and outbound process. The inbound process is, well, I already have a lot of people reaching out to Minority Mindset, me, for advertisements. And I am very, very, very selective with who I talk about on YouTube. One, because I can't talk about everyone. And second, I really only want to talk about the things that I'm using. And so, you know, the people that pitch to me, I just send them over to the sales team at Market Briefs. So that way they can filter them and see if they're interested. Second is the outbound process, where they're actively reaching out to businesses. So kind of what we do is we actually just look at, if you look at the affiliate agencies out there, so you have like Commission Junction, CJ, you have Impact Radius, you have a few others. And then the first thing is we just look at the companies that are there, and then we reach out to them to see if they'd be interested in advertisements. And then they also have their other kind of lead generation, where they're creating databases of companies that would be good fits there, and then they're reaching out to them. But so that's kind of like the now how we start generating leads. Now, the way we filter them out is we have our own criteria of companies that we want to work with. So we want to make sure the company is credible. We want to make sure the company's been around a long time. And we want to make sure this company provides real value to our audience. So we're not sitting here selling, you know, things that are just hypey, scammy, random crap like that. These are real companies selling real products. Like a lot of them have a lot of overlap with things that talk about a Minority Mindset. So things like, you know, say M1 Finance or Fundrise or other companies that might help you be better with your money, because the newsletter is for investors. So we want to create some sort of synergy where if you're an investor, what's a product that can help you out? It might be a stock brokerage, it might be a real estate account, it might be a cryptocurrency brokerage, it might be, you know, healthy food. We try to keep things in that type of where it's how do you perform better as a person, but we do not get into any of the hypey, scammy stock picks, any of that. We don't sell securities. We don't do any of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's your reputation at play if you were to go down that route, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
I love the idea of going to like a CJ or a ClickBank or some other affiliate situation. And then you already know they're looking for help to build their business, but you don't necessarily need to do the affiliate stuff. I know you've done the affiliate stuff. I've clicked on your affiliate links for things related to refinancing and stuff. So thank you. But I like this idea, because then you can reach out and have a legit conversation, see if there's a fit there on both sides. And if you don't mind me asking, and you don't have to share, but how big is the email list, and how much would a spot be? If I wanted to buy an ad spot, for example, if I got through the selection process,
sure.
How much would it cost me?
So we are just in the process of spinning off right now. And the reason why we're spinning off is because we weren't able to give Market Briefs enough airtime on the Minority Mindset channel. So what that means is like we kind of have our own products on Minority Mindset, things that we're promoting. And Market Briefs was just in the back burner. Market Briefs was something that was just on the homepage of the website. We did market it for a small portion of time back in 2019, maybe a little bit of 2020. And then we kind of just let it go because we were so busy promoting other products. So right now the newsletter has just under 100,000 or so users on it. And the thing that I want to mention on that, because we have a very engaged email list. That when I say very engaged, we have an average open rate of just under 50% right now.
That's big. So
it's
that's huge.
And the reason, the way we've been able to get there is we filter out, we do a double opt-in. So when you want to join the newsletter, you have to do the double opt-in. And then second, we do like campaigns where if you're not engaging, then either we're going to re-nurture you, or if you don't do that, we're going to kick you off the list, because we want a very fresh list. We want a highly engaged list of people. And so we just brought on a new salesperson. And so we're filling that up right now. But about $1,000 will get you a spot on the newsletter, assuming that you fit the criteria. Okay. We reject a lot of most companies that come our way. So it is hard to, one, get accepted. But then if you're accepted, that's the pricing that we're looking at right now per newsletter. And then so the sales team, we really started enacting in January. We are probably 80% full for January, and now we're looking into just filling up February and March. February right now, so we're recording this in, you know, early January right now.
Yep.
So I know this is going live later, but we are almost 75% full of February already. So our goal now is to fill up the months. That way then we can start raising the pricing, because I think we have more pricing room and leverage there, but we haven't tapped that yet, because we want to fill up the calendar so that way we can, you know, limit the supply and then increase the pricing there.
So $1,000, and if you imagine, you know, 50% open rate, which is huge, that's amazing. So it's like 50K people, and that's daily? It's a daily newsletter?
It's six times a week.
Six times a week? Wow. When you calculate that, that's 2 cents per essentially open or view. And with its integration more natively, I mean, that's a massive deal. I'm surprised you're only charging $1,000.
Yeah, actually. Trust me, our whole team has been on me for that. And my whole thing is, before we raise the prices, I want the calendar filled.
Yeah.
Once the calendar's filled, we will raise prices. So it's just one of those things where I want to refine the sales process, because that's kind of newer for us. So it's just a lot of things working, and you know, I'm okay charging a little bit less to build the connections, to build the right team, to build a network of sponsors. Because it's funny, just before this, I was on a call with our newsletter salesperson and one of our writers, and they were like, oh, we just ran, I forgot how big the package was, but we sold a package to this company. We just finished it. And they were like, wow, the results blew us out of the water. We want to double the amount of sponsors that we just bought. So it's we want to build a trust so people can see the value. Once we can show them the value, then selling is not a problem. It's not hard for us to do that when we can show them the results. But yeah, the first thing I want to do is we need to build the network. We need to build that whole team, and we need to build the whole process.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd mentioned value first as one of your values. This is obviously, you know, you're providing that, and I think that it's going to be doing really well. So marketbriefs.com for people who want to check that out.
Thank you.
That's one of the products. What's another product that you are doing to support your business outside of advertising revenue on YouTube?
So a second company that we have started is Market Insiders, which is a financial education app. So, you know, it's an actual app. You can go to marketinsiders.com to check it out. When I say it's a financial education app, the way it works is you can sign up for a 10-day free trial, and every week you get live coaching sessions. So it's a coaching session on real estate investing, stock market investing, and cryptocurrency investing. And when you join, you also get classes. So we're building up more classes, but we have a stock market class and a cryptocurrency class. We're building out a real estate class. That way, now you're getting real coaching from real investors. And the reason why this is like, I went down this route is because there's a lot of crap out there, as I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. But in the investing space, one, if you want to learn how to invest your money, you want to actually be investing your money, and you want to learn from somebody who knows from what they're doing. And so we go out and we're finding very intelligent, very experienced, very successful investors, and these are not gurus, these are actual investors. We find them and then they become teachers. And what they do is they teach from their experiences, they teach from their failures, and they teach from their successes. And so these are people that have, at a very minimum, hundreds of thousands of dollars invested, if not millions of dollars of their own money invested into markets. They've had above average returns. And we have separate coaches for stocks, real estate, and crypto. And for the $27 a month that you get all of it. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, try it out. We have a 10-day free trial. You can try out everything and see if it's right for you. And if you like it, then you can continue on with the app. So that's what that product's work, how that product works. And it's funny because a big thing that I kind of battled on YouTube, kind of on the more personal end, is, you know, our YouTube channel is called Minority Mindset. And originally, just like with Market Briefs, Market Insiders was under, like, it was a part of Minority Mindset. It still kind of is, but it was under Minority Mindset. Everything was under Minority Mindset. But then we ran into the kind of the dilemma and issue of what is Minority Mindset? Because if you ask most people, what is Minority Mindset? Most people would say Minority Mindset is Jaspreet.
Yep.
It was, are we a YouTube channel? Are we a creator? Or are we a business? And that became much more difficult now, because now if you think about building a business, because some of these are real businesses, like Market Briefs is its own company that we could potentially sell or do something else with later on, same with Market Insiders. But if it's under Minority Mindset, what is it? Now, we're not trying to sell this. We're trying to build these companies because it's something that I really enjoy doing. But it, just trying to differentiate that and having the ability to market these products and having their own marketing channels, it became very confusing. Yeah. And that's when I made the decision to, okay, let's separate these, create them almost like sister companies where, you know, Minority Mindset now becomes more of me. It is more of my personal brand. We have a blog still, but it's more of my personal brand where I'm teaching this financial education. And then I can send people wherever, you know, I feel fit. If I'm making a video about what's happening in with inflation, well, then I can promote Market Briefs. Go check out our newsletter. If I make a video where I talk about how to invest your money in real estate, well, go check out Market Insiders. That is our financial education app. If I'm making a video talking about refinancing a mortgage, well, then I can give you a sponsor, just like how you were talking about, right? So, I mean, it's Minority Mindset has become a place where it's more of me, and I can send people wherever it is that I need to go. And what you'll see is a lot of videos, you don't have any promotion. It's just the education. And that's, again, goes back to the lead with value. If there is a good promotion, a good place for me to recommend something, I'll recommend it. Assuming it's something that I believe in, that I trust, or it's our own product. But the main thing is the value. That's what allows everything to grow.
Love it. Curious, on Market Insiders, why an app specifically?
Well, it goes really just to the user experience. So when we... Market Insiders is a newer product. We launched that towards the end of 2021 as a beta, just to see how people would like it. Because you know, the issue that I always had was I didn't want to go down the route of creating expensive classes. I mean, I know we could, but I just didn't want to, because if I charged, let's just say, $1,000 on how to invest in stocks, well, if you only have $1,000 to invest and you spend that just on the education, then I want you to have the money to invest in stocks. So that was why we started off with a low pricing subscription model. That way you can get a whole bunch of value and you can get the reoccurring value. Because even in Minority Mindset, we have a bunch of coaches. We have consultants, coaches that I've hired. And the things that I've found that give me the best value are the ones that continually meet up with us every 2 weeks, every month. They're monitoring us, and then they keep giving us feedback. So I was like, how can we kind of replicate that through, you know, something? And that's where, you know, this app or subscription model comes in. It's not one-on-one, it's group coaching, but you still get people that are keeping up with what's going on in the markets, and then they teach you based off of what's going on. So, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank changes interest rates, you learn that. Now, to answer your question, why an app? So when we launched it as a beta, we were doing it through the live sessions were hosted through Zoom. Okay. So they would watch a Zoom call, attend it through there. And then we would take the Zoom recording and then put it into a different management system. We used Thinkific.
Yep, they're great.
which was fine, but it just created a lot of confusion because then Discord was where we can be talked to everybody. So you go into Discord, and then you watch it on Zoom, and then you want to watch the recording, go to Thinkific, and it was just a whole bunch of moving pieces, which was fine for the beta to get everything out to see how people liked it. And people loved it. I mean, there was just so much value in here. So now we built out the app because now everything is in one place. It's super easy. And then in terms of, so that's the UX, the user experience. It's very easy, one place to do everything. And then on in terms of just kind of the monetization revenue side, an app allows us to do a whole lot more things like push notifications. We can do things like communicating directly with the user. So it provides us with a little more value there, but also we get the UX benefit as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also having it developed as an app, you can push out an update that has more things a lot easier. You can customize it. You might be able to have, you know, in-app purchases for coaching one-on-one if you wanted to. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you could do with that through the Apple and Android ecosystem. So that's awesome. I have a question about the instructors that you have. I have a lot of people who watch and listen to this show who are considering either creating events or products or courses that not just integrate themselves as experts, but other experts on the outside too, just like you have. What kind of deal are you making with them? How are you able to, like, are you giving them a rev share? How do you partner with them in that situation?
So that's the $1 million, or not even the million, that's like the $100 million question, because that's where, how do you figure out how to do that? And I have gone through many different scenarios. So I'll back up a little bit, because previously we did have a class, a stock market class that was taught. And now I invest my money in the stock market, but I don't like to say I'm a stock market expert, because I know some people who are, they're way better than I am. And so I brought on a buddy of mine who is, I mean, I would definitely consider him a stock market expert. He's been doing it way longer than I have, and that's all he does. So I brought him on, and the way we did that was a revenue share. Now, a revenue share is good because you don't have to pay that money up front, but if the product does well, it burns you in the back end. So originally, it was like a 40-60 split where I got 60, he got 40. And then after, I think, 12 months, it went to 75-25, where he got 25 and I was getting 75. Now, again, it was good. And the reason why he continued to get revenue share was because he still had to do some sort of maintenance, answering questions, being in touch with the community. So if you want somebody to stay in touch and involved, they need to continue to get some sort of upside.
Right.
So that was that. But then going into this app, we didn't want to follow the same route because it just didn't make sense for the way that we're doing it, because it's not just one person. We already have, I think, 6 coaches, and we're probably going to be adding more just to keep providing value. So for these, we're paying the coaches flat fees per session, and then we also pay them to stay engaged. And so that's the way that we're doing that. So it's a very different model. But now the reason we're able to do that is because we have funds from other places to pay the higher fees.
Right.
So it's a lot more expensive up front for me to pay, an investor with $1 million in the stock market to come out, every week to coach. So it's a lot pricier on our end, but, thanks to everything else that we've built, we've been able to fund that. So, we're willing to pay the higher price right now, knowing that, we can build up the user base and we can build up a good team of coaches and have multiple. That way, we're not reliant on just one person. We have a whole team of coaches, and, it's going to cost you more. Now, I do want to mention one more thing about that, because in terms of revenue share, because you want to keep your team motivated and you want to keep them engaged and wanting to work. So like at Minority Mindset, we have a team of people that work with us. And our team, we call them money nerds. Our employees are money nerds. Everyone has their base salary, but then we also have a revenue share program where you get paid not just your salary, but then you also get paid based off of how well whatever platform you're working on is doing. So we have like a blog team, we have a newsletter team, we have our social team. So how well your platform is doing, that's also going to determine how much you get paid. So everyone gets, you know, very fair, very good base salary. But then the better your vertical does, the more you make.
That's cool. I like that incentive. I also like the evolution of how you ran these partnerships. You know, when you're bootstrapping, you don't have that kind of money maybe necessarily up front. So doing a rev share makes sense to start out with. And then you can evolve to when you get more funds, like you said, pay these flat fees and stuff. And thank you for that, because that answers a lot of questions that I know my audience has. As we finish up here, Jaspreet, and this has just been an absolute pleasure, give me a sense of how big each of the teams are for each of these different companies that you have. I'm just curious to see where they're at.
So we have 6 full-time W-2 workers at Minority Mindset, money nerds. But then we have a bunch of contractors that we work with. So let me see. So let's start with Minority Mindset, because our blog, we have 2 editors on staff. And then we probably have maybe a dozen or so contractor writers, maybe a little bit more than a dozen writers.
They're writing blog posts and stuff?
They're writing blog posts for Minority Mindset.
Okay.
We have a couple people that do the full-time writing for Market Briefs, the newsletter. Then we have a bunch of contractors for, you know, our design team on there, and just kind of the back-end support. Probably 2 designers, a couple back-end support people. We have a full-time video person. And then we have four video editors that are remote contractors. We have a handful of just, you know, 1099, just general branders and all that. So, and then we have our Market Insiders team, which is 3. They're not minority. We're all independent contractors, and they're like the team that works on that. Like 3 main people, and then we have our kind of VAs for there. So that's kind of the breakdown of the team. A core 6 that then help manage the freelancers, contractors, VAs, all there.
What's the best advice you could offer with relation to team related to your business?
Make sure everybody's on the same page, and make sure everybody is here to win. You know, you have to make sure that your team is passionate and they're with you, and they're not just there for a job. But the reason why I know that is because I've dealt with that. You know, our first full-time employee, she was good, but she was not good. I'm trying to be nice here, but if somebody is not performing, let them go fast. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because this first team member that I brought on, I didn't know what to expect, because it's the first person I'm hiring full time.
Right.
And so I'm trying to coach her, I'm helping, and she just wasn't getting it. And a lot of mistakes. And I kept telling myself, like, you know what? I'm going to coach. I'm going to help her. I'm going to help. Like, you know, it's just like, I just need to give a little bit more training. And 7 months go by still nothing. I mean, I'm just like, it's just not good. And there's just so many things that went wrong. I mean, just a lot of mistakes, just not even completing work. And at the 7 month mark, I was like, you know, this is just not working. And I let her go. And the funny story is why I'm saying fire early, not just so you waste 7 months of salary and all time and brain power.
Man.
But this was a number of years ago, but then the pandemic hit. And I had fired her a long time before the pandemic. I don't even remember how long, but it was more than a year before the pandemic. I had fired her a while before the pandemic. And the pandemic hit, and everybody's going into unemployment. And guess what? I got a letter from the unemployment office saying that this person has now filed for unemployment from Minority Mindset. And I was like, what? And I look at the report, and it shows that she had been fired from job after job after job after job after job, but I was the only person that kept her on for more than 6 months, which made her eligible for unemployment from Minority Mindset, but nowhere else, because you have to be employed for 6 months. So
interesting.
Yeah. So another reason why, you know, if someone is not cutting it, let them go early. Be willing to train, be willing to work with somebody, be willing to mold, but, you know, just keep, you know, you need to find people that actually care about it. And, you know, that means taking care of your employees, taking care of your team, taking care of your people, give them some, if it's a rev share, maybe equity, depending on what the product is, make them feel like they are an owner and help them develop, grow, and build something with you.
So good.
Not for you.
Thank you for that. And I have one more question for you, Jaspreet, and this maybe I'll ask for a 60-second or two-minute answer. And that is specifically, I want you to speak to everybody who's listening or watching this right now who doesn't speak English first, or who might feel like they're not cut out, or they don't look the part, if you will, in order to become a successful business owner, and especially somebody who's stepping up to be on a platform like YouTube that's very vulnerable, everybody sees you, hears you. I would love for you to share some words of inspiration and or advice to that person who's watching or listening right now.
I'm going to go back to what I said just a minute or a little bit before. If you think you're thinking big, you're not thinking big enough. You have to have the right mindset. Anything is possible if you have the right mindset, you believe in yourself, and you're willing to work. You have to be willing to work, be willing to bust your butt, work your butt off, but you need to combine that with the right mindset and the willingness to learn. YouTube has decentralized education. You can learn anything you want. I don't care where you come from, who your parents are, how you grew up, what you look like. You can learn anything you want from YouTube. And if you have the right mindset, you're willing to work and you're willing to learn, nothing can stop you, but you need to be willing to work and keep willing to work.
Amen to that. Jaspreet, thank you so much for your time today on the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Appreciate you. What are the few places people can go to follow and find you?
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. Well, if you want to see more of me, go to Minority Mindset. You can check us out at theminoritymindset.com. Check us out on YouTube, Minority Mindset, and everywhere on social, Minority Mindset. Like we talked about, you can check out our free financial newsletter, marketbriefs.com, or you can check out our financial education app, marketinsiders.com.
Awesome. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. I've personally benefited from it, and I'm sure others are going to after listening to this as well. So thank you again, man.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Jaspreet Singh. Again, you can find him at The Minority Mindset on YouTube and on his website, The Minority Mindset. You could also subscribe to Market Briefs there to get the newsletter. And that's something I'm subscribed to as well. So very, very good content, very, very good information about working with a team and how to grow his business, and even some potential faults of his that he's working on right now with relating to pricing and all that kind of stuff. But it's just such a real story and real help that he's offering people, myself included, like I said. So Jaspreet, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you for watching or listening all the way through. If you haven't figured this out by now, we are actually posting these podcasts, not just as audio anymore, but on YouTube as well. And so if you happen to be on the YouTube channel, make sure to give a thumbs up and leave a comment if you can, just so we know that you're there. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I look forward to serving you in the next episode of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. My name is Pat Flynn. Peace out. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound and video editing by Sean West Media. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I've got one for you. It's called Dirty Money, and it's like a hybrid between a true crime and a business podcast. So hosts Jonathan Small and Dan Bova tell the tales of legendary scammers, con artists, and barely legal lowlifes who stop at nothing to rake in millions. Recent episodes include a man who looted $100 million from his own company. Crazy. Give it a listen. Head on over to Dirty Money right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.